I guess Metro Boomin made a BBL Drizzy.
Oh, BBL Drizzy. Yeah.
But the weekend they recorded a song over the shit.
Man.
They can't stand this nigga.
No,
anyway.
They can't. Yo. This is DJ Brainstorm on the mic with you, coming to you live and direct right now with episode number 383 of the Drunk Mind Sober Thoughts Podcast. The DMST podcast is back. It's a Sunday.
Yes,
it's
sir.
It's a Game 7 Sunday.
Yes, sir.
It's a,
you see the shirt?
It's a Cinco de Mayo. It's
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco of de Mayo. Cinco of de Mayo. That's racist.
Yeah, it is, but I did.
He said that's racist.
Cinco de Mayo.
It's a Cinco de Mayo Sunday, man. Thank you to everybody tuning in right now on Facebook and YouTube, the Duo Podcast, and then everybody tuning in throughout the week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, the TuneIn Radio app,
None.
Anywhere, wherever, however you get your podcast, thank y'all for tuning in this week. Playboy, how you feeling?
Feeling great, man. Playboy the DJ. Playboy DA DJ. Another show, another week. Cinco de Mayo, man. Let's get it.
All right, Dev, how you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling great, man. You know, yeah. Shout out to, you know, the Cavs pulled out Game 7. Either way it go, no matter how you get there, the two best words in sports. Game seven, man.
Yep. Hadn't had one since 2018.
Yeah, everything on the line.
Bron had a pretty good Game 7 in Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. If I remember right, didn't Jeff Green have a pretty good game that day, too?
Yeah, he did. It was Jeff Green and Bron. That was it. That earlier in that round, we went to Game 7 against the Pacers, and the same thing happened.
Oh, yeah.
We went down a little bit, not as much.
We were in Vegas. We were in Vegas for Popalooza for Game 7.
My nephew was here. He was playing an AAU game, and we was at the AAU game. And by the time I pulled up to the game, he was down like 12. And I'm like, we about to lose in the first round.
Dog, it was so weird. We was in Vegas. It was 10 o'clock in the morning and the game is starting.
That's with Paul George, right?
Paul was still there in 2018?
No, that was Victor
Oladipo. That was Victor.
We couldn't stop Victor Oladipo at the top of the key, pick and roll, coming down.
You know what? Brother Tonight just sent a video about that to me another day. Yeah,
we couldn't stop Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, that was Victor. Yep. But yeah, we was out there for Popalooza. And I remember, like I said, that was the crazy thing. It's 10 o'clock in the morning and the game is starting. That's why the West Coast is so weird to me. I mean, I know
what you say? Kendrick, the words expressed by Brainstorm.
Who said that? Not,
you said the West Coast is weird. I just want to let Kendrick Lamar know. I don't agree. No, I just want to let him know. I don't have nothing to do with what he just said.
Hey, you don't have to drop no song about us. It'll be out 15 minutes.
It'll be like, the West Coast so weird. We're like, oh, shit.
Fuck DMST.
That'd be the beginning of the song. Him saying, the West Coast is weird.
Yeah. don't nobody want to piss Kendrick off.
I put it on the thing. You ever see a nigga doing push-ups? Bless. Push-ups, nigga, push, pray. You ever see a nigga doing that by himself in the park?
In the park? By the jungle gym?
Listen, my brother told me, number one rule in the hood, if you see a nigga with some pro wings on, don't fuck with him. He don't give a fuck.
Commissary is right around the corner.
They gonna have no problem beating your ass. You think you can fight? That nigga in pro wings can fight, nigga. He said, you know what? We really don't ever want to fuck with a nigga with pro wings in public, nigga.
Right.
A nigga at Cedar Point in pro wings, that nigga fucked the whole amusement park up.
Nigga had you on the ride. He'd be hanging from the side of the ride.
Nigga had you hanging from the goddamn loop-de-loop, nigga. You better leave that nigga alone.
That's funny,
right,
man.
I'm sorry, man.
Nah, man.
Y'all know what time we on today. We're going to get through the festivities and get right into it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But I was just talking about the West Coast. That just stuff is so different. You know, like we used to, I mean, today's game was 1 o'clock. I mean, again, if we was out there on the West Coast, it's 10 in the morning. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things. I mean, I know ultimately I'm thinking about, you know, we've talked about moving somewhere warm and stuff like that. You know, once Amir is done with school and stuff like that, we've talked about, because it's going south. Where the fuck are you going to go? You don't want to go to Mississippi. Yeah. You ain't going to Alabama. Texas is it's crazy right now. Florida is crazy. Mm-hmm. So like, where are you going if you go south right now? Maybe, I mean, Georgia's like the only logical answer, but then what part? But anyway, so it's other than that, go west.
Don't go down there trying to kick it with, let me stop. Trying to kick it with 21, get some street cred. Yeah, yeah. Now you want to beat him, but let me stop.
He killed him on that third verse. But yeah, man.
Real quick, before we get into some other stuff, speaking about the game, the Cavs game and them winning, they put this thing up like, oh, it's the first Cavs win since 93. Nigga, Brian been in the NBA since 94, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like LeBron ain't been in the league for 25 years or some shit.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, the first win without LeBron since the 93, yeah. That's
yes,
the,
okay.
Woo. The Doherty, Price, Nats era.
Yes, like yes. But yeah. LeBron, that niggas act like LeBron ain't been in the league longer than anybody ever. It's going to take a minute for us to...
to get past some of those things yeah. that he did because... And for one, and the other thing
took
is
the
that...
took the Bulls a minute to get past the Jordan.
And the other thing is the fact that, God damn it, he is arguably one of the... I mean, not even arguably yeah. one of the greatest. He is one of the greatest.
Yes, yes.
But he's arguably one of the top two ever to play the game. So, yes, and the man is still in the league. So
he's still playing.
It's very much possible that we haven't won anything since this man left four right. fucking years yeah, ago, goddamn it.
Like, they act like
God
been,
damn.
They act like he's been gone since 93. Man, like he's right. been gone since 2018.
Yeah. But yeah.
I think it's a hell of a job they did turn this shit around as quick as they did, man.
Yeah. I mean, considering when most times in the NBA, if you lose a superstar, it
man,
takes
you
years.
Eight
Chicago
to 10.
Technically has never recovered. I know,
never recovered.
I know
Derrick
Rose
Derrick
getting
Rose,
hurt
huh?
yeah. with the knee stuff kind of killed that, but it's never recovered. Yeah. The Lakers have not bounced back since Kobe outside mm-hmm. of what LeBron just did going there.
Yeah, LeBron's different. You know what I'm saying? You get LeBron on your team, yeah, you got a chance to win a championship.
LeBron's different in the fact that technically – you put him in the right situation right now, even he'll be 40 next year, mm-hmm. he could probably still win a chip.
Yeah.
So it's,
you put him on this team.
Yep. I was getting ready to say it.
Yeah. But so it's whatever.
Weird. All right. Playboy, how was your week? yeah.
Week was cool. You know what, man? The week was cool. Mm-hmm. Things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, but you know, you just got to keep pushing, man. So mm-hmm. my week was cool. I'm sitting here. That's all I got to say about that. So my week was cool, man.
Mm-hmm. Dev, how was your week?
My week was straight, man. Like I talked to y'all last week about the stuff that was going on with me. And you know, luckily got, you know, like same blessings from last week. Nothing else changed. Just been like on vacation, basically. You know what I'm saying? Doing stuff around the house. Shout out to the one. I don't want to put their names out there. You they did some work at your crib recently.
Okay.
They did some work at the crib.
With homies?
Yeah, but some of it didn't go as planned, but they did fix it. Mm-hmm. So I was doing some work to kind of clean up their work, but then they came back and finished their work.
Okay.
So, yeah, doing some stuff around the house. Yeah, man, just I watched probably between 15 and 20 romantic movies this week.
Rom-coms.
Listen.
I did watch the Anybody But You movie.
You did? I watched
it. It wasn't terrible. But
it was good. You know that shit was good.
It was
a
white person rom-com. You know,
Anybody But You was good.
And watched it last night.
Yeah, so Anybody But You was good.
It's a romantic movie?
Yeah. That's what, that was the one with Sydney Sweeney.
And I forgot the white guy's name.
Let me find out.
Oh, nigga.
You had your feet up on an ottoman with a robe.
Even worse. Curled up on the couch, blanket up to my the nape of my neck, nigga. I don't give a fuck. And I got all them shit saved. I'm watching all kinds of movies.
I always said that because that'd be me.
I'll be chilling, dog.
See, I got on flip flops, nigga.
You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, so I've been catching up on you know different little rom coms. I don't know. It is. I understand. It's very cookie cutter. You know who's gonna end up being with each
other.
You
can always tell with the story. Like I was watching the movie. Like okay, they're gonna have a fight at some point. Yeah. It's always the same damn thing.
It's just.
It make you feel good. I gotta be honest.
Yeah,
a rom com will make you feel good.
A good
rom com
has
no
a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah,
and it serves the purpose. You don't feel cheated after an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the ending always has some sort of you know what rom-coms are? They're fucking Family Matters episodes. You know in a Family Matters episode, there's gonna be a protagonist, they're gonna do something to fuck something up.
Right.
And then somebody's gonna fix it. Then they're gonna have a lesson in the living room at the end of the show.
And
right.
then somebody's gonna hug.
Yep.
At one point the crowd is gonna say, "Oh."
Every
time.
So I do have an affinity for them. I did start the week off watching thank God I did both these though, because I wanted to watch them. For some reason, I had confused. I was thinking of the line out of nowhere. We're going to search every in-house, outhouse, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking Shawshank Redemption.
Fugitive. Nah, Fugitive.
I know. And so I ended up watching Shawshank. And I'm like, nigga, this
Fugitive.
Ain't it.
Nah,
then I watched The Fugitive right after.
It comes on TV. Every time it's on TV, I watch. That's one movie I watch
fire.
Anytime it's on.
It didn't the kill my wife.
Yeah.
The one armed man.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Then I hadn't seen Shawshank from beginning to end in a minute.
I've never watched that movie.
Really?
You watched that movie all the way through? It's a good ass
Shawshank is good.
I love the way Andy at the end.
Dufresne at the end, man. Yeah,
how he did the warden and everything. Yeah, bro, that
man,
shit
that was good, man. That's a good movie.
Okay,
that's what I was saying. I'm glad I did because I was thinking Shawshank was Fugitive for some reason in my head.
Yeah.
But once I started watching Shawshank, I'm like, oh no, it's Shawshank. Right. You know what I'm saying? So. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't watched that in a minute. So
yeah, it's a good movie.
The way he, I mean, everything about it, that was a good ass movie.
Oh yeah,
man. That was
good. How he set his boy up too, like, look, go here, get this, and then.
But how he ended up getting up through. You know what I'm saying?
That was crazy.
It was crazy.
That was great. You gotta watch. You watched it before, right?
Not the whole thing.
Oh, you gotta watch it.
No, I'll put it on the list. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's a good, great movie, man. Okay. Actually,
so what? Let's see, my week. My week was cool, man. Just Same old work and shit like that. It was actually an easy week with work, so, man, it was one of them. Beginning of the month is easy. I don't have as many practice meetings and things like that, so it was easier. What we do? We went out last night because Amir went to a friend's party. It was so funny because somebody at the party was like, oh, Amir in high demand now or whatever, you know. It's cool because he's been here a year now, so he has friends and stuff like that in school and stuff like that, so he's going to people's parties and stuff and things like that, and we wound up going to the homie Mills party. She graduated college, so we went to.
That's right. Congratulations.
She went to her party last night. We went to an establishment. Is Euclid the hood?
Yes.
Okay.
Euclid and Garfield. All of us moved there. So okay. It's okay. It's a little EC.
So we went to a spot that's a newer spot in Euclid. I won't say the name technically. But it's a newer spot in Euclid. It took over an old establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people keep getting shot out there. I know you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In the shopping center?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By 260?
Yes, yep. Somebody got shot out there a couple months ago. They had to change. Somebody get shot, they changed the name.
Mm-hmm.
He be like, nigga, it's the same fucking place.
No, not the, I wonder, well, fuck it, the old floods? So yeah, you might be thinking about the spot right by Babbitt.
Yeah, no.
That changed name.
I'm thinking of.
Oh, no, you're thinking about the other spot that's the new owner's. Now, the owner got killed. He actually got shot. Yeah, no.
You talk, no. Look, this is Cleveland, so fucked up.
Jesus.
Not that murder.
No, not that murder. That one.
Oh, yeah, it's right past 260. If it's across
from. It's a little bit before 260, so going towards the bridge.
Though. Okay, this one's across from Popeyes and shit.
Okay, I know. That's B-Stone probably over in
no,
that
No, not B-Stone. B-Stone is here. This one is here.
Oh, the other one that was in that right next to it. Yeah, okay, yeah. I know. Right where that liquor store and stuff is.
That's probably why this is
a little bit before. It's right. A little bit before that. But so anyway, but yeah, we went. And it's like, it's so funny because I'm looking at the pictures of it online before we go. And food to me looks okay. Carlos was like, nah, I ain't eating or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool on the inside for the most part. But they didn't staff the place. And it's just like, you know, you go do all these things where it's like, you know, you try to support black establishments and then you get there for something like this. And I actually had read a Google review for the spot and somebody had the same issue. Oh, we had a party planned for this time. We got there. It wasn't open. We had to wait for somebody to come open the door. It's just like, it's insane.
Oh, real quick. Shout out to the homie Jay Sean Champion in the feed on Facebook.
Jay Sean, what's up?
Jay Sean, we about ready for you, dog.
Pie and R&B.
We gonna be reaching out.
Yes, we got a
very,
whole idea.
Very, very, very soon. Shout out to the homie Michael Thompson that was in the I don't know if he's still in the feed, but his you know, we gotta let you see the space. We about ready to tap in, dog.
Yeah, yeah. We love the new location.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know, put together what we had planned about a year or so ago. Anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, but the establishment is just like it's just understaffed and things like that. But I remember I was looking at the pictures, I saw the owner, and that's why I didn't really want to say the name because it might be somebody, but it's like I was just like, oh, this is a hood nigga that bought a spot and opened up, which is cool. I'm not even hating. It's cool. You know, but I saw from the picture, I'm like, oh, this is a hood nigga. And then once I got in there and saw how things work, I was like, yep, I was right. And you try to go support the black establishments, you know, and then it's like, you wind up getting like half-ass service and that shit be so annoying, you know, in those situations. So, you know, I don't know if we'll go back. I mean, like, we didn't want to really eat the food. So, I mean, the wine might be pretty cool, but, you know, we might come back and try some of the wine or something like that, but that's...
He said you sound like a husband now, dog.
Hey, man.
We tried to establish, but my service.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to talk to the manager.
The wife got to be cool, comfortable, and happy, man. Everybody know that, man.
Oh, shit. Real quick, by the way, I don't know how I forgot this. Mother's birthday was yesterday.
Who?
My mom's birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday. She turned 74 yesterday, man.
And that's so another blessing.
Make sure I got to say that real quick.
It's another blessing out here.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, that's it for the week, man. Yeah. You know, we got a lot of festivities to kind of talk about this week. You know,
Where do we want to start?
I say we just get into it.
I'm going to go right off the top of my head and say this. This is all inclusive, y'all. This is not just. This event, this rap battle event might be the best one yet.
Yeah.
Given the accessibility to content, the frequency in which he's dropping is unprecedented. We got to give Kendrick credit for that. It's only one No Vaseline. The only other one with two, I mean, you got the Drake one, but you got Takeover and
Ether.
No. He did what was the other song by Jay-Z?
He did Takeover and then he came with Ebro. And then he
pulled it back.
Yeah. Then he pulled
it back. It's really only happened.
But then he did go back at him on Blueprint too, though.
Yeah, it hasn't happened that often. You know what I'm saying? So,
like this many songs. I mean, but the 50 stuff with like the lots and number back in the day, like being mad at being mad at Ja. Like he put a lot of music out back then too. Like it used to be. A lot of stuff back and forth. Then you had the lots and who was saying it with like I think with Beans in them.
Yeah.
So.
But the frequency, the content, the artistry. Kendrick is dissecting this young man like a college corpse 101 course. Like, you know them courses, they go into the room and it's the cadavers all around the goddamn room? Mm-hmm. Like, this is surgical, man.
This is biology.
Yeah, so shout out to Brainstorm. I fell asleep on Friday night. I went to sleep at like 12, maybe 12:05, 12:10.
And probably about 12:11.
Yeah, I heard Drake's response. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Listen, watched a couple of videos about it. I was like, okay. And then I went to sleep. Woke up about 2:30. You know, old nigga got to go to the bathroom. I look at my phone. I'll never see a text from this nigga after 7 o'clock. He's a respectful nigga. He like, sorry to bother y'all niggas.
I did leave with that. I did leave.
Nigga had a whole greeting.
I said, I apologize about the time.
I apologize. You know what I'm saying?
But, my good brothers.
But then he had hit about Meet the Grams. And I ended up being up for like 2 hours off that shit. I ain't go to bed like 4 in the morning.
Bro, I was done with the whole thing when he dropped Euphoria. For me personally.
Okay.
I mean, I love.
Say more.
I love both guys. Don't get it twisted. But
do you?
But no, I really don't now.
I'm about to tell you the truth. Go ahead.
Okay, I like the, I'm going to need you to say something, baby Drake, and the you the fucking best Drake. Mm. That's the Drake I like. The newer one, But that's just me. I mean, I really ain't vibed off of nothing he's really done for real since then.
I'm not gonna say I haven't because I have. Drake is an excellent artist.
Let's
before we even start getting to all this, let's talk about Drake. It's a great artist because he in a sense that
let's talk about it. I'm ready to talk, baby.
Drake is a great artist because he does make music for the masses. But I think what people
confuse.
Does that
make you an excellent artist or a nigga to make really good quarter pounders? Which one is it? Because XO makes excellent steaks. And I can only go there when I got money. To me, that's what Kendrick is. Drake is almost like a Whopper. Yes, it's very tasty.
At times.
It's delicious.
At times.
At times.
But it's not memorable. But to little young broke motherfuckers, you love Whoppers. So all the little young niggas is like, Drake be making good. No, the fuck. What the fuck he do? I'm ready now.
With this
nigga. I mean, you can't beat me in a battle. I don't give a fuck no more.
I mean, no.
I feel like I can beat him too.
I really don't want to just act like Drake don't do this, fuck he don't that do that, nigga. Man. Because he has
Happy
put out hits.
To bio.
He has. Should have never gave this nigga tequila. Jesus. No, but he makes good music. But you see, I think people gloss over the fact that like about a month and a half ago, somebody was interviewing Mos Def, and Mos was sitting there in the interview, and somebody asked him about Drake, and he could tell he didn't want to sit there and say
it.
His first thing was, "Why are you doing this to me?" Whatever. You could tell he didn't want to.
Right.
He didn't want to say what he wanted to say about Drake, which I think what he said is what Kendrick's feeling. Which is what a lot of people in the industry is feeling about Drake, or whatever. Probably what you're feeling in a sense, or whatever.
A lot of us
and you've said yourself that you call Drake a caricature of hip hop. That again, he makes good music, but he floats into a lot of different lanes all the time, which you should be able to do as an artist. That's not put somebody in a box and say, you have to just do this. Mm-hmm. But I was telling Carisha the other day, so I'm like, he's very good at, if somebody's hot or something like that, Drake's going to find a way onto their song, even if he recorded himself and then all of a sudden send it to him or something like that. Then like he's like out on the song or something like that. He'll hop on somebody's hot song real quick. And then all of a sudden it's a version out and he's on it or whatever. Then you're like, oh, why the fuck is Drake on this song or whatever? Just out the blue, out of nowhere. He's going to find a way to fit himself into a space or whatever. And more than anybody else. More than anybody else.
And, and the reason why I've never given him credit for it, right? It's always been, it takes a surgeon like Kendrick to start breaking it down. Mm-hmm. So, listen, everybody not a leader. That nigga is a surgeon when it comes to words and like explaining something so that it's digestible if you fucking listening. But the reason why I don't give Drake credit for doing that is because it's not like he takes those people and cultivates them. He either rides their wave or be like,
which is what, he rides their wave.
Because he was also a club going up. On a Tuesday, but where the fuck is McConan? It's not like he take niggas he takes them and catapults them. If they turn into the Migos, he can always say, basically, I fuck first. Basically, that's what he says, is I hit it first.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the Migos get the shit off their own back. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, Versace, Medusa head, I'm like, I'm Illuminati, would have been the shit no matter what. First of all, that was a bone flow, but we ain't gonna get into that. But that shit would have been the shit no matter what. But Drake tends to piggyback off these niggas a little bit. Yes, because he got a name, obviously, it'll give niggas a little bit more credit or clout or whatever the case may be. But it's not like he then takes them, cultivates them, and like, I'm going to take McConan under my wing and whatever turn you just did, I'm going to make you, you're going to make another going up on the Tuesday song. It's like, well, nigga, if you can't do it again, then, all right, bye. It's like, God, you know what I'm saying? So,
at least I fucked, though.
At least I fucked, though.
Yeah, that's what
I
it is.
I never really respected that. I've always, I've appreciated his ability to do it because it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody
He's
do
a
it.
Chameleon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to put it. He's a chameleon. He can fit into a lot of different spaces, which, again, it's a credit to him. Being honest, it's a credit to him. But, again, like that Most interview where he was just like, hey, you know, like he's cool if I'm shopping at Target. And the song come on or whatever. And that's kind of Drake. Like, basically my thing with Drake, for me, and it's been a while, I've been trying to get my thoughts together. I knew we was going to talk about it heavy today. Basically my thing with Drake is that you don't really know who he is as an artist. I like an artist that can really flip up what they do. And they, like, I can't stand an artist that every song they put out sounds the same. Sounds the same. Everything's at 88 beats per minute or 92 beats per minute. So I'm like, I can't stand that. Like,
you know who does that? You know who does that? But he's immaculate at it.
Who?
The Baby.
Yeah.
The Baby is just, his last two freestyles have been otherworldly. If you ain't seen his LA Leakers freestyle.
I watched both of them.
God damn. But
I didn't know he had it like
he
that.
He raps the exact same, but he's like, you know, I don't know, Tyreek Hill or something. You can't stop it.
But most of the people that do that, they can't do
they
it.
They can't do it like that.
Where's Designer? Designer had a song that came out that was the hottest song out there, whatever, and every song that you've heard or whatever that was all, that people, a lot of people ain't heard the song because you ain't in the DJ circles where you get the music or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all the same tempo. Every single thing is the same tempo. It's like, okay, you don't have no talent. Mm-hmm. You only can do this one thing. Yeah. So again, for Drake being able to do some stuff and switch it up in different ways, what I, cool, I give you that. But I just feel like there's a lot of people in the game, and Kendrick said it on, see, he didn't drop so many goddamn songs. But he said it was like, I'm not the only one that feel it, basically.
Oh,
like,
that was on
I'm with the culture field. Yeah, I'm with the culture
field. That was Euphoria.
Yeah, where it's like,
Euphoria.
Yo,
was a goddamn.
I feel like a lot of people in the game really feel that way about Drake. I mean, they really feel that way, but you don't, you know, it's certain people you really kind of don't say stuff about. And I think, just in general, I know we'll dive into a little bit more. I feel like the biggest problem Drake is having right now, in my opinion, is that Drake picks on a lot of people a lot of times that can't really fucking rap or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's when he picked on somebody that could rap before, like Pusha, you had a problem.
You had to bow out.
And you had a problem. Mm-hmm. Now you picked on a nigga that can fucking rap, and I don't know why you didn't learn your lesson the first time.
There's Pusha T. This is the real problem.
Drake is fucking stupid.
There's Pusha T who can rap. And then there's a nigga who won a Pulitzer Prize for his album. There's a difference, okay? Because I'm going back and forth between these two. Even, I mean, even Euphoria. But this last song, Not Like Us, is, first of all, it's like going to be the number one song in the country.
It's a fucking banger.
I was playing this shit on the ride over here today, and I felt like summertime, nigga, windows down. It just felt like, nigga, I'm in that bitch like this.
Yeah, I was throwing up the west side now, but I was in that bitch like.
Nigga, cut you off in traffic. Nigga, I will shoot you, nigga. I will shoot you, nigga.
Right now.
You got to pop out of niggas.
Nigga stuck his flag out the window.
the thing about him is every single bar is not just a bar. It's an underline to another bar. But real quick, shout out to Leah, who had to endure me for like 10 minutes, try to explain bars to her. Our women don't give a flying fuck about what's going on right now. And I'm like, this bar mean this. And I could tell she was shaking her leg. Like, the moment this nigga take a breath, I'm out. But like, even the beginning of this song, which is like, you know what I'm saying, a dance song. Yeah. The first bar, when he like musting on the beat, ho, Debo, any rap nigga, he a free throw. Like, Debo is DeMar DeRozan's nickname, who played for the Toronto Raptors, who's from Compton. Yep. So the Debo, nigga, saying Debo is not just Debo from Friday.
It's always underlying stuff. Yeah.
And you, once you start, I've been watching so many videos, and niggas start peeling the layers back, and you like, stop messing with this nigga, man. Like, even the fucking part to end off this first part of Not Like Us, when the niggas say, how many ops you got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna pass on this body. I'm John Stockton. Listen.
Oh, when he said that, I was like, oh.
John Stockton is the assist leader.
Yep.
So you, how many ops you got? That's too many options. I'm the assist leader, nigga. How many options? I'm a pass on this body like John Stockton. John Stockton got the most of his assists to who? To what human being? What human being do you think, Playboy, he passed the ball to the most? John Stockton.
Karl Malone.
Easy.
What did Karl Malone have going on? Apparently, his first daughter, the mama was.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And somebody pulled the picture up of Drake standing there with Karl Malone, like when your neighbor comes to the party or something like that. Like, Kendrick is literally surgically.
He's surgically dissecting,
like, just
this nigga, man.
Cuts and cuts and cuts.
Like,
and cuts
by a million paper cuts, man. Yeah. And you got, like, nerdy intellectuals. You got niggas who love hip hop. The reason why he closed the casket with Not Like Us, to me, is one of my favorite diss records ever, is because all them Drake dummies was like, you can't even dance to Kendrick.
It don't have no replay value. Okay. That niggas is killing.
I'm gonna go get mustard and make a banger of the summer, nigga.
I didn't even get the chance to, it was in my mind, I was gonna tell Carlicia too, I was like, I bet you the next thing he gonna put out is gonna be a bop.
Nigga, that shit hard as hell.
Because it just made sense, because that's what everybody's saying in the streets. And go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just getting ready to say, it's almost like he picked every producer correctly for each song. Because
Like That was a problem. Like That beat.
Like That. What was the one?
You mean Alchemist with
Alchemist
with Meet the Grams.
Oh, nigga, it was crazy. The shit was crazy. And then to get mustard. That shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy that he hopped on the mustard track. And again, for him to have, I guess technically he can pay for the beat or whatever, then do what he wants with it, whatever he wants, and the producer don't have nothing to do with it or whatever. But it's like, these are people obviously that's signing off. You know your beat is used on
a
song.
You know,
on a song.
Kids call you like, hey, you got a beat? You like, I know what you think about these.
Nah, but it's like, because I didn't even know until recently, because I was looking back last night about the whole Pusha and Drake beef or whatever. And it's like, I didn't know that when they dropped the Maybach Music, what is it, 5 or whatever, the one that had Wayne and stuff on it, which one of my favorites. My favorite one is the J one, the very first one, I think. But Pusha was on that song. I didn't know that he was on that song, and they pulled his verse. So it's actually out there floating on the internet somewhere, and I didn't pull up. But because he got on that song, he dissed Drake, and obviously Ross and Drake was still cool. He wound up pulling it off the song or whatever. It's almost like the T.I., the 50, the 50 Cent, what is it? God, what is it? The Get Money. Because the version that came out only has T.I. on it. And you can't find the other version out there in the streets now. Luda fucking killed that shit. The story on that is the The song comes out. I mean, they do it. T.I. does his verse. Mm-hmm. They send it to Luda. That's when they still beefing. Luda mm-hmm. does his verse and shits on him. Mm-hmm. And T.I. wanted to whatever, this and that. So it that yeah. So it's the same thing, one of those things. But I didn't know they pulled Pusha's verse off mm-hmm. of that Maybach music song.
Second, outlandish thing. First of all, it's probably my favorite rap beef ever. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I'm being honest, y'all. I know y'all think I'm crazy for this. I think it's over. I think he's Ja Rule-ing Drake. We've seen it once.
I said it.
We've only seen it once. Ja Rule, listen, for the young fucking dummies who wasn't around, mm-hmm. you could not turn on 106 and Park without seeing Ja Rule. Now, at that point in time, 106 and Park was the culture, nigga. 106 mm-hmm. and Park, XXL Magazine, and The Source was the culture. That's wrong. All hip hop was. You could not turn on the TV.
He always had a video in there.
Or open a magazine without seeing Ja Rule. 50 Cent annihilated this nigga. Mm-hmm. He made it. 50 was the first nigga to make it uncool to like somebody.
Yeah.
And Kendrick is slowly making you feel like Drake is R. Kelly. You know, he's this close to almost being like, oh, you listen to Drake? You know he got like pedophiles around him, convict. You know he like be fucking with you. Like he's. I'm not saying he's there yet. I'm not saying it's over because it's only been going on for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We've seen this before though. If you pulled up to the function playing Ja Rule, niggas be like, yo, corny ass.
But Drake is a lot like Ja Rule in the sense of Ja was the nigga, but Ja had more street cred. But Ja started going to
that
space.
But he did the pop shit.
But he became very chameleon like where mm-hmm. he was. Singing and stuff. What's my motherfucking name? Yeah. You. And
he had a real nigga come along.
Yeah.
And boom, 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 start cutting him off at the knees.
Yeah.
Meet the Grams.
I'm just in a different way. Like 50 made it uncool on some like this nigga ain't. He is singing. He made Ja Rule corny. Mm. Drake's already corny. We know that. It's okay. He's for pop culture. He's making it almost R. Kelly like.
Okay. Can I say something real quick? I sat in a room of 7 people yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was playing. I was like, y'all do know he dropped Meet the Grams. They was like, no. Everybody in that motherfucker was like this.
It fuck with your soul.
Yeah.
You had motherfuckers in there like, this is. I can't even find a word to describe this type of situation that Kendrick got going on. I don't know. I can't find the words right
Kendrick
now.
Kendrick hates
this
nigga.
This is blatant disrespect.
It's diabolical. I don't fuck with you. He doesn't fuck with him. Like people, my one nigga, I almost went in the chat, but I don't want to be the nigga who be too serious in the group chat. He was being funny. He said they don't like the nigga because he fucking his different girls. It's pre Ricky Fontaine. No. The niggas who don't fuck with Drake in the industry, it ain't got nothing to do with us because we don't know shit about it. But clearly, they don't like this nigga's like aura. They don't like his him persona. As a human. They don't like his morals, his values. He don't like this nigga. Like, Kendrick stands in his words for one thing, and you see this nigga on the other end of the spectrum. Like, this nigga be like, he hates black women. Like, he don't like this nigga.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He talking about he hypersexualizes black women. He is... I believe you stand next to Sexy Red, you see two bad bitches. Nigga,
that was a line. Hey, that was a line.
And probably pop ass with her.
Yeah, that was a line.
Nigga, when that nigga said, I believe when you said,
can I say too, for the people who sit here being like, oh, I mean, again, going to the other part about the whole thing about not having a bop or whatever, it's like the people who are right now really kind of standing for Drake, which is the reason also why I don't feel like he's going to go to the Ja Rule route because he has stands not to the Beyonce and them side or whatever, but it's like there's young people now who just they want one liners and they want this and that or whatever, and people acting like Kendrick ain't delivered some one liners or some shit that you sit here being like, yes, you got some stuff you got to think about, or it's double entendres, or it's underlying meanness and all this stuff, or whatever. I get that, but even like I said, the third verse and Not Like Us. Mm-hmm. Where he just sit there, to me, that was just like...
That was diabolical, man. That was surgical.
You went to Atlanta for this. You went to this person for this. You went to this person for this. Like, come on,
nigga,
man.
Nigga, you not part of... Nigga, you not a colleague. You a fucking colonizer. This, and this is the other part that we... Today is Chris Brown's birthday. I'm going to tie it all up. What I'm saying is not everything, but just this point. Today's Chris Brown's birthday. He's 35. 7 years is a big difference for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a big Chris Brown fan because when he was popping, he was 16. I was in my 20s. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I couldn't really get on the Chris Brown train. Same thing for Drake. I was like 30. He was like 24. It was just a little. Drake 37. Yeah. He's not really a part of the young. He was a part of the young nigga brigade when we was 30. And that's why we never really jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
But at this point, he is at the age of sit your old ass down to the true young people. The only reason why I say, I'm not saying he gonna Ja Rule him. The only reason why I'm saying it's more R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein-esque is because the true young people give a fuck about shit like hypersexualizing black women, nigga appropriate culture, being a colonizer. They give a fuck about that.
True.
Being a pedophile.
True. But if they haven't gave a fuck about it so far.
But it wasn't exposed to this level of, it wasn't vocal. Like we knew of R. Kelly, but the moment he went to trial and had that interview with Gayle King, we couldn't double back, man. At that point,
which
it was in our face, bro.
Which interview? You mean the, what do you mean by teenager?
No, that one, it skirted. That was almost like Drake kissing that or saying that girl, you know, oh, what you 16, 17? That was that. The Gayle King was, I don't know how to hog tie. After that one, we couldn't go back, man.
Oh, when he was crying. Yeah, we couldn't go back.
Yo, nigga's killing me with this shit.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We couldn't go back after that. It was over.
Oh, you're right. The other one was Torrey.
You know the thing that's making it the worst? Uh-huh. Is that the whole world is watching this situation. It's all you hear on the internet. Everything I go to is just, Kendrick dropped another one. Drake dropped this. Push-ups. This, and that. But everybody. So now that everybody is listening to Kendrick saying what he's saying about Drake, there's going to be people that's going to take notice of that and be like, you know what? I'm not. Because my thing is this. If it's true, you got to treat this nigga just like you treated R. Kelly.
You got to.
And certain people that have been in that situation. You got to.
But the thing is, if it was just he was high, I don't even give a fuck about it. Ain't nobody talking about that daughter in 48 hours. No, that ain't a long time. But don't nobody even care no more. Right. I saw the funny ass meme today where they said it was a white girl getting her hair braided in Barbados. Talking about this her getting her hair braided waiting to get sewn to Drake. But like, it's so many. He's not even accusing. He is, accusations is one thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like the daughter thing and the pedo thing is accusations.
Mm-hmm.
The other things are just, let me spray some Windex on the window and make it clear for y'all niggas to see.
Right.
That third verse on Not Like Us is not an accusation. That's an epiphany. He's writing epiphanies.
It's the same thing I just
He's
said
He's writing
earlier.
Human epiphanies. He's like,
Right.
This nigga's appropriating our motherfucking culture.
Yep.
Well, you said this yourself when he dropped the little dance album, whatever. Because I remember I was the one sitting here on the show being like, "Well, y'all got to give him the same space y'all just gave Beyonce and all that stuff, whatever." But you was absolutely mad because he did that whole album and then put one track on the album that this nigga rapped his ass off on the album. Like my nigga, stop! It's just. And you said it then. You was pissed at that. Like, yo, he's just appropriating the culture. He's a character. That's when
it's
you started going in on.
Man.
Yeah.
Because, like, even like Beyonce did the dance album and she did the country album, but she committed to both those albums. And I respect it as an artist. Man. It's art. Because at the end of the day, it's artistry. I don't begrudge this man's artistry. That's why I joke, but I agree with what y'all saying. As an artist, the nigga's talented.
Yeah,
he can sing. He can rap. He can melody. He can harmonize. He can put words together other niggas wrote. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's good at shit like that. Yeah. But, like, I mean, I just... Hip-hop, we were talking about it before the pod.
That was a diss, by the way.
If it went over people's heads.
Nigga ain't beat me. Yeah. But the one thing about it that I appreciate is this hip-hop is a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the only... I don't begrudge Beyonce because R&B is not a sport. Hip-hop at its core... It's me versus you, my DJ versus your DJ, my MC versus your MC, my dance crew versus your dance crew, my tagging crew and spray paint crew versus your tagging. That's what hip hop culture is at the core. So when you get shit like this, and you get a vital opponent, you could fuck around and lose, sir. You could get Ja Rule in this. That's the risk you take.
He is losing right now.
Nigga.
And, oh, by the way.
I'm going to put a T on the end of that.
That's the
lost.
Lost.
Because he can't rebut all this.
And look, this is my whole thing. This is the one thing about this whole situation that I hate. It's something that people probably not paying attention to, but just not as much as I am. For all you Drake fans that sit up here saying that that Kendrick didn't lost and he getting ducked, I can respect people's opinions and how they feel, but nigga, facts is facts.
Yeah, the
and
Cavs anybody, won the series.
Exactly.
The Cavs won.
That's what I'm saying. Nigga, like, stop saying that Drake is.
Because it's a competition and he's winning the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
strategically
stop.
Winning.
Yeah, like, stop. Just
even,
stop.
Even dropping Meek the Grams 20 minutes after him dropping Family Matters is a win.
Nigga.
It's, what you call it? Shout out to Shannon Sharp and Ocho. They were talking about this. Did you see they take on? It was dope. He said, they were talking about it, and Shannon said, that boy hit him with that 2-minute warning, Ocho. He said, you know, you go in the huddle, you got a play call, then you got another play call. As soon as that play in, that boy called the play. Drake called the play. That nigga Kendrick said, we got an audible. Immediately. Because the reason why he won that is not only, in my opinion, was it more diabolical than Family Matters. He crushed your rollout. You put an Instagram post up. You recorded a music video. You got a van that was almost the same van as Good Kid, Mad City. Just had a gray bottom instead of the maroon bottom. You did a lot.
Oh, that was the van thing. I kept sitting like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, from
this?
The cover.
You did
the
a
cover.
Lot to try to destroy this nigga. Okay. And 20 minutes later, he was just like, nah, don't even matter.
And
that's a
eviscerated. Is that a word?
Yeah. Good job.
I got it right this time.
It disappeared into the ether. Shout out to
Yeah, man. No, you're right. You're right. Y'all both right. Yeah.
So, like, right now, of course, he's obviously
Drake came with the old game plan. You know, he thought he was going to do it the way he did it with Meek and stuff like that. And he came out with memes and all that stuff or whatever. And why you ain't dropping no songs? Well, now my nigga's dropping back to back to back to back on you, which makes the everything back to what Euphoria when he's like, yo, that back to back, I like that, but I'm going to get back to that. You know what I'm saying? And he got back to that.
My favorite parts of this shit, I listen to all the undertones, you know, of different stuff. So when a nigga say, I ain't even bleed him yet. Should I bleed him? Bad.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When niggas say that, I'm like,
oh, but that nigga, he said, I'm about to go in.
Oh, the other one.
It's been up ever since. Ever since he said, should I bleed him? Bad. It's been every
nigga.
Every bar has been a direct shot to this nigga since.
And then on Meet the Grams, my favorite part of the whole song is when he gets to the end, like, he's saying you lied, and the back tone is you lied.
Nigga, my favorite part of every song ever. It was like, he a fan. Freaky ass nigga. Hey, he turned you. They're literally crip walking on your grave, man. Because one thing, I don't know if you've been watching these reaction videos. It's so funny. We are Africans at the core.
Yeah.
And the niggas reacting usually be like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? But every nigga in a reaction video was like, freaky ass nigga. We can't help it, nigga. We hear a beat. We're going to dance, my nigga.
So yeah. I think my favorite line, I think it's in the 6:16 song where it's is it 6:16?
That was like minute and a half.
So I think that was the, where he kind of ends it with he said something about like, you're not alone or whatever. Yes. And then he goes back to the Mike Jack thing, the whole Mike Jack reference. Because y'all remember, again, in First Person Shooter, Drake was the one like, yo, I'm one away from Mike Jack or whatever. That's what I'm saying. He's still hitting him over the head from that one. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, that's my favorite. My favorite line about everything else, whatever.
But to what you were saying, he thought he was gonna be able to do the same thing he did with the old shit. In this, in the last one, Not Like Us, the nigga said, this nigga's crazy. I can't even read the shit the way he be rapping the shit. But nigga said, nigga better straighten up your posture. Got famous all up in Compton, I write this shit for the doctrine. Tell the pop star, quit hiding, fuck a caption, I won't action, no accident, I'm hands on, might fuck around, get polished. First of all, nigga, fuck a caption. Nigga, I'm about that action. Nigga, fuck these memes, nigga. Mm-hmm. Write some shit. But then the nigga said, I'm hands on. Like, listen. Okay, so.
I think I know where you're about to go with this.
Fuck a caption. I won't action. No accident. I'm hands on. Nigga, wax on, wax off. Nigga, I'm hands on. Fuck around, get polished. Wax on, wax off. Nigga, hands on. Drake be polishing his motherfucking nails. The nigga is.
He got levels.
Everything got two or three meanings to
it. It's levels to everything he's doing right now. It's levels to everything.
It just makes
right now.
Makes you honestly. It just makes you appreciate him as a artist, as a person that really take their craft seriously, man.
I agree.
Like for real.
I mean,
real talk.
And another thing, the biggest problem Drake is having too. One of the biggest problems he's having right now too is the fact that he we said it before the show. I think there's obviously somebody in Drake's camp that's talking.
Yeah, somebody saying
that's
something.
Talking and said because Kendrick knows too much stuff or whatever. And I know, and then there are people even on Twitter was bringing up the old Wayne interview when he had came out of jail. When he had came out of jail, talking about how Drake had fucked his girl or one or something like that when he was in jail or whatever.
Wayne said, I was hurt over the shit, but I don't care no more. Wayne was
I mean, all of that and stuff like that. So it's just like there's people in this camp that's like just leaking stuff that Kendrick should know. And then even with the Pusha T stuff, again, when I was diving into that last night, you know, how, oh, shit, I just lost it. With the Pusha T stuff, I just lost it. But but again, it's people that's Chubbs, his guy, Chubbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because people thought that Kanye had told Pusha about his kid or whatever, and then Pusha was like, Pusha did the interview. Pusha was like, no, it wasn't Kanye that told me. Mm-hmm. It was Chubbs that told me because Chubbs be laying. He's like, Chubbs be laying up with his girl, pillow talking all the time, basically or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it got from his girl or whatever to Pusha or whatever. So there's people in Drake's camp that talk all the time. And oh, shout out to RDC World too for the video they put out. That shit was
he put the gun on the table.
Yeah. He got
another new one. Oh, I ain't seen the new one.
Yeah.
I gotta see that.
He said, "Turn the lights on." No. Yeah. Your drink just dropped.
I saw it. He just typing the whole time. I'm uploading. That shit was hilarious.
About my family. I ain't
seen that. I gotta watch that.
Shout out to RDC World. But he did put out a little disclaimer. I think on Twitter, he's like, "Yo, if it goes." Basically, if it go left, we ain't doing these videos no more.
Right.
You know, basically. So I get it. But, yeah, shout out to them for doing that, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, every I'm just.
It's been fun.
You know what?
For hip-hop, it's been fun.
I'm going to tell you like this. Be honest with you, because of nature. First of all, I've been listening to this shit. We all have been listening to this shit all week. Mm-hmm. But I'm actively, when we leave here, I'm going to listen to every. Because now you got me thinking, like, I need to listen to all.
In order. You got to listen to the bitches in order.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to listen to everything again, man.
And again, the other problem that Drake is having, too, is that Kendrick can hear a song and take his ass right to the studio and to the booth and go put something out or whatever. Or he probably already know what's coming because, nigga, to drop a song 20 minutes after Drake drop a song, it's like, that is extra diabolical, man.
This is what makes it even more diabolical. He said in, not Euphoria, what was it?
He said it was on.
I forget what line it was or what.
No, it wasn't Euphoria. It was what was the first one?
That's what I'm trying to think about.
Not like that. Oh, the first. Oh shit. No, Euphoria did come out.
Oh, it was Euphoria. It was the end of the poem when that nigga was like, "Don't tell no lies about." What you talking about?
No. I was gonna say that too, but just the aspect of him saying in that one, I can't remember the bar right now, but he basically said, I know your every angle, nigga.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't surprised me that he didn't see the shit coming with Drake, and that's why he strategically dropped, you know, Meet the Grams right after he did that shit. Like, that nigga's a, I'm just call it what it is for me, man. That nigga
he locked
genius,
and loaded right
man.
Now. Yeah, he locked and loaded right now.
Yeah.
He locked and loaded right
now. I hope he dropped five more.
He locked and loaded.
Man, the nigga said, don't tell no lies about me. I won't tell no truth about you. Nigga, stop.
He ain't.
Stop, nigga.
Kendrick.
And he said it.
Kendrick ain't dropped no album in what 2 years now. No, he dropped. What was the last one he dropped? No, that was only like six songs. The last one he had dropped.
Was Mr. Round his last one?
Full album, probably. Yeah. But remember, he did Mr. Round. One joint. Yeah. Was it early last year when he did the videos with it, stuff like that, or whatever? So Kendrick ain't dropped the album forever, but he in the studio right now, mad as fuck.
Oh yeah,
making songs about Drake easy. So it's all.
I don't.
Not Like Us is a single.
But see, the thing is, I don't understand.
Euphoria a single too.
Yeah. I can't understand why, like, you got bodied by Pusha T. What, and don't get it twisted, Pusha T is that nigga when it comes to that shit, but what would make you go after Kendrick?
I think he probably
I don't understand it.
I think he thought Kendrick didn't know, but it was too much shit that was public knowledge that we didn't know, but you knew a nigga like him would know. I didn't know nothing about the Baca nigga and the case and the human trafficking. I didn't know that. But you should know that he wouldn't know that.
It's two niggas on this planet. If I was a rapper, then I'm not going after
him and Jay-Z.
No, I'm about to say, I ain't going after Jay, number one. Kendrick, Eminem. No
oh, yeah.
I'm not going after M.
Yeah, I would never go after M.
I don't want to go. No, it's a handful. I'm not going after Wayne.
No.
I'm not going after Kendrick. I'm not going after Eminem.
That's a good little transition. Like, who would you not go after?
I'm not going after Nas, and I'm not going after Hov.
Yeah.
But you know you naming some people that's pretty much GOATs of the game, though.
Yeah, but that...
The or top the of all you, time. But that's why they're top of the heap, though. That's why they're top of the heap, though.
Like, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't go after him, though. Like, this fucking... He thought he was untouchable. I think you get to a point where you feel like you're untouchable. And Drake was like, nigga, I'm the boy. But everything he's saying, nigga, you a boy, but I don't see the man. Like, everything he says, he takes it.
You know, I need to hit K-Dot up. I know what he need to do. You know what he need to do? Oh, he need to go and grab Drake's instrumentals and kill him all his instrumentals.
All his hits.
Say something or you the fucking man. He need to make it one song where he transition in beats and just go in on each one.
Like a 15, yeah,
like a
15
minutes.
He need to recreate the, what's it, the Heart Part 5?
That was what he put out last year. Yeah.
No, the Heart Part 6 is what he need to do. The video, remember the video from a couple years ago when he was switching faces? Oh, if he do that shit to, remember he was Nipsey and Will Smith and all them niggas in the video?
OJ, yeah.
The OJ.
Mm-hmm.
And the nigga was just, and even then, I don't know why he would do this, man. Even then, I'm listening to that. I remember watching that over and over and over and over and being like, this is, real quick.
I think we talked about it on the show.
We talked about it on the pod. Because I never.
It's the whole project, yeah.
Yeah, the project was hard, but it was always something with Kendrick that didn't.
Kendrick a different nigga, man.
He's a different nigga, but he has gained my utmost forever respect in the past 5 days. He has now cemented himself to me in the conversation. He in the convo.
Well, see, he did that for me in the beginning, and
not everybody. I wasn't there yet,
and I know. You know, we Kendrick heavy and stuff like that, but he did. When you drop Good Kid, M.A.A.D City as your basically debut album, I know Section 70 whatever was out there, whatever, but it's like this is your debut album, and it was basically a concept album in a sense. To me, in a sense, it wasn't just like I'm gonna do songs, whatever. It was like that shit flow with the skits in between and stuff like that. The only other person that kind of did that, but it wasn't his.
Huh? Eminem did that shit.
Yeah, M was like kind of, and I was kind of thinking about Kanye, Kanye did it on the second one more so with the stuff in between with D-Ray talking and stuff like that. But it's just like, but he basically did everything with them skits, and I'm in the car and I'm out here doing this with my homies and this like, it flowed so much. It's like you did that. That's a leap to take on your debut album instead of just dropping bars and songs and putting out singles and stuff like that. You know, so it's just like, yo, he's a different type of dude to me.
And you know what this is? You know what this, I watched this shit, this crazy, before this beef really started, or like in between Drake's push-ups to when he came out with Euphoria. Which one did he come out? Euphoria was the one where he dropped.
After push-ups, I think. Yeah.
I ended up watching a series of videos, and I was watching Eminem stand, and I watched it like 2-3 times the video. And I'm like, and now that I think back on it, what Kendrick is doing, I'll never forget listening to Stan the first time on like CD or tape, whenever I heard it the first time. I can't remember what I was listening to. And I remember visually seeing the exact video that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has to be a nigga in his basement writing a letter to Eminem.
Yep.
He crashes out and kills himself at the end of the video.
Right.
I'm like, this has to be the video. And I'll never forget watching it. And I was in awe. I'm like, creatively, this is like almost the perfect, not a perfect song, because it's not a song you're going to listen to in the, I don't know if people say the club. What did I say? I went to the fucking club.
Hell, you don't even play it back all the time or whatever.
You don't play it back all the time, but creatively, it was perfection. From what Eminem wrote to what he visually paired with it, put it in his box, put it up on the shelf of great art that was created, and you want to see a song from concept in my brain to what I visually put out, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. And I'm watching this shit be done by Kendrick, and this is almost a series of songs that Stan. Because the dope part about Stan was Eminem was bouncing back, writing from the different perspectives, and it was just so fucking intricate. And I don't even when you listen to it, as he's being Stan, his voice is going up and up and up through the verses. And then once he finally gets to M's verse, it's back down low again. Mm-hmm. And he kind of
but every time
it was
Stan, it went up it a little bit higher on like, each verse. Yep.
I'm like, this nigga is creatively, like he was just saying with his first album, he's conceptually putting this.
And maybe I should call it a conceptual album more so than just being like a
He's like putting. He's also strategically putting this shit together. Mm-hmm. And he's building it brick by brick. Each layer below helps the layer above. This is like Stan personified. Like by the end of it, I don't see how this ends well for Drake.
He'll have stands. We live in a different era, man.
I don't know. He'll have stands like Bone got stands. I don't think the casual. He'll have stands. He will definitely have stands.
But there's so many of these young people out here right now that's like they. But just, I don't they, think they. They I think they we got not feeling Kendrick right now.
I know. Yeah. I feel it, but I think we're old. We ain't that old, but I don't think Drake appeals to the young people as much as we think. Think about my daughter be 18 in a couple months. Drake don't appeal to the real young people. He don't appeal to them no more. And they are ready to cut people the fuck off.
I will say, we was coming home from the football game today, and even Amir's like, Kendrick dropped 3 songs in 48 hours, and they all was fired.
Yeah. I remember, I say this, we went to the Cleveland State game earlier this year with the basketball team, and I was giving a couple dudes a ride home, and we was listening to the radio, and it was actually Drake. It was Drake and Sexy Red. Mm. And they was like, I wish Sexy Red wasn't on this song. These are 15-year-old boys. And I'm like, the sense in these niggas' head is different than I thought. Like, part of me would think, oh, it's Lil' Kim. I just want to see somebody popping cooch. They're different in the sense that they're a little bit more intellectual than we give them credit for.
Yeah,
even,
that's true.
Even he said it, and what you call it? Kendrick said the shit in here. He was like, what's the aisle? Bird niggas and bird bitches. The audience not dumb. Shape the stories how you want. Hey, Drake, they're not slow. Like, nigga, don't. Stop thinking that the fucking audience is stupid.
Yeah.
Because the more and more I present these niggas with facts, they're going to be met with a moral dilemma. And moral dilemmas drive culture now more than any nigga. I truly believe and Drake's not above reproach, because I don't think LeBron is above reproach. I don't think anybody in popular media is above being canceled,
right?
Oh no, not
and
not
you
today.
Put enough shit on Drake's plate, they will say fuck it, I'll listen to Travis Scott.
Yeah.
I just we've seen it happen different. I know he's not gonna be Ja Rule. I just don't. When I look at this, the reason why I was talking about Stan, the reason why I relate this to Stan, I remember, like I said, visualizing how that video would go. I can't visualize how this ends well for Drake.
I don't either. He got to bow out like he did with Pusha, but then if you bow
out,
he's
going to keep going.
This
ain't going to keep going. Because he also said, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus 5. And he only had 5.
But I'm saying Drake got to bow out. So
yeah,
no, like, at some point,
Kendrick going
to
keep.
Maybe Kendrick stop.
If I was Kendrick, I would drop every last track. I would keep going.
Two of them are, I'll keep going.
I would keep going. I swear I would. Just keep going. I mean, why stop now?
The nigga said, man, the industry got some, he basically called this nigga a weirdo that's allowing sex trafficking and underage stuff to happen. I have not heard it anywhere. So I want to say it right now, DMST. I want to trademark this, timestamp it at 7:35 p.m.
Okay.
I'm the first person to say it.
Okay.
And if you start hearing that shit other places, remember where you heard it first.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The new phrase is no Drizzy. Fuck no Diddy. Nigga, I'm trying to go fuck no, with side, no Drizzy.
No Drizzy.
It's coming. Trust me, it's coming. The moment he becomes a hashtag, he turns into Diddy, and it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Diddy is the most recent You can't be riding around listening to every breath I take, I be missing you. Niggas like, you listening to Diddy? What's wrong with you, nigga?
What's wrong with you,
nigga?
You all
right? You a weirdo, nigga?
I ain't even lie. It got me, you know, feeling like that as far as with Drake now.
Yeah.
I had a song pull up in my phone just random, and it was Drake, and I was like, nigga, next.
Diddy, it happened to Diddy.
It can happen to Drake.
No Drizzy, nigga. We gonna see. Saying? Fuck pause. Fuck no Diddy. It's okay. Hashtag no Drizzy. No
Y'all might have just named the show. Y'all might have just named the show. This episode.
Hashtag no Drizzy, dog.
Yeah. All right. So
ain't really shit else been going on in the world.
Nothing. I mean, for the most part, all the shit that's been talked about, period, been about you know, KDOT and Drizzy.
But I mean, there's been some other shit this week though. What else we got on
here? I don't know. You know, I can always you know me, I'm pulling up shit in the phone. You know, black people always don't give a shit. You know, because if you live on Twitter long enough, black people are always gonna give you shit. Did we talk about that? Now, do we want to go goofy or whatever?
I'm say go goofy. Yeah.
Did we do this on the show? I saw this again this week. You know, I saw this about a month ago. If a friend loans you $100 to gamble, we downtown.
$100. That's all you get back.
You already saw it, right? You saw that meme.
I saw the thing.
You saw the meme. Have you seen that meme?
Well, what is it? Keep going.
A friend loans you $100 to gamble. We was all in Vegas last year for my bachelor party. So Playboy hands me $100. Like, man, I got you, man. $100, whatever. I hit for $50,000.
$100.
How much are you giving your friend?
$100.
How much?
So you gave me $100.
Or vice versa.
I give you $100. We in Vegas last year.
Mm-hmm.
We on the tables. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, we do the blackjack and all that stuff, whatever. We on the table.
And I hit for $50,000.
We on the roulette. We do all that.
Mm-hmm.
You hit for $50,000.
I probably give you about.
Oh, Playboy, nice motherfucker.
I'm giving you $100.
You were 25, right?
$100. $100. That's it, man. You get your $100 back, nigga.
If I hit for 50, you gave me $100. I'm gonna probably give you about somewhere between 10, 15 racks.
And I'm gonna do a real slide like that.
He give you $100 back, nigga.
Hey, don't even worry about me. I thank you so much. Be real quiet with the shit. Hey, bro.
Don't even know you hit.
That's the part right there. If they don't know you hit, if they don't know you hit, that's the part right there, Playboy. You right there. But I'll be honest.
I ain't saying nothing.
I might give about five rats.
Cause you gotta think about it.
What city is you niggas from? No, hold on.
I might give you about five rats.
Cause I'm thinking my aspect is I didn't have $100 to gamble with, so I took the $100 from you and gambled with it. So I gotta give you something. I can't just give you the $100 pack.
Yeah, that
I gotta give you at least. Okay,
that'll mess with my soul.
I gotta give you at least a couple grand.
Yeah, that'll
at least a couple grand.
I can't tell you how much I won though.
No, absolutely not.
Because now that's gonna create a little bit of dissent between the person that gave me the money.
It can start a situation.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't tell you how much I won, but I'm like, yo, man, I hit or whatever this and that, you know. But I and for my soul personally, I think I got to give you a little bit, you know, more than just $100 back.
Damn, like fuck that. Where y'all from? Where your mama from?
I'm surprised.
Where your daddy stay? Where your grandmama stay at?
I'm surprised. Damn, gave me a little tequila today. You know what I'm saying? That nigga was like, I paid for it.
That nigga, damn. Hold on, for the people in the feed, you can just see the disdain.
Damn, that's like, a lot of money. Y'all.
Hey, damn, like y'all niggas crazy. If I had 50, real talk.
$15,000?
If you gave me $100 and I hit in Vegas, we in Vegas.
For 50.
And I hit for 50, 50. I'm going to give you at least 10 racks. Probably.
In Vegas, you probably, I can see Playboy right there in the moment, like, yo, here you go.
I'll give you 10
I'll probably
racks.
Get on the plane and go back home before he changes mind. You know what I'm saying? But
y'all niggas going to see me for the rest of the trip. If he gave me 10 grand, man.
For real, I would. Either one of y'all. I would probably give y'all, like you said, somewhere between 5 and 10 racks.
I'm going to ask you a hell of a question. I dead ass believe this nigga.
Yeah.
Here in the court. I'm going to ask you a hell of a question. Go. Are you calling Corlisa first? Let me tell you something. I refuse to get back home.
Oh my God.
Tell Leah Catrice Reed.
Jesus.
I won $50,000.
Yeah.
And with all due respect, I love you niggas. I gave one of you nappy head niggas. I gotta live with her for the rest of my life. I'm gonna let you niggas know right now. I'm willing to give you money. I'm going to consult with her. Leah, let me let you know right now. I know you gotta get the driveway done. I just want 50 grand.
Oh,
I got
man.
The 100 from Playboy. How much can I give you? I'm just speaking of that right now.
You know
right.
what's
I
fucked up?
I refuse to walk back in my house and that woman I gave you $10,000.
You know what's fucked up?
She's down in your house right now with a gun. And my fucking
with a mask on. Like, and you said, like, Leah, I know that's you. I can see your dreads hanging out. Oh my God, man.
Like, you don't know how the fuck you look.
Oh, man.
Fingernails painted and everything, man.
You know what's messed up, though?
That's hilarious.
Oh, fuck.
What was that? Was that on Thursday? I ran into y'all at CVS,
and
I just gave Leah a hug. But you know what? She probably would tell you not to give me no motherfucking money. Morning. I just hugged your ass. I just saw you in CVS. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, that's funny,
it's
man.
It's crazy.
I'm calling first, bro. No, I feel it right now.
But you know what?
With all due respect.
No, I get it.
With all due respect, though, to be honest, though, let's just say this was Vegas last year. If I would have hit for 50 and want nobody around, I would have called. I'm cashing out.
Yeah.
Soon as I hit, I'm cashing
soon
the fuck out.
Yeah.
Print the ticket. I'm probably going to walk off because first I got to process that shit. Mm-hmm. You got
to
process it.
I'm probably headed back to Cleveland. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm out.
Where's Playboy? We got the celebration dinner tonight.
And I think on 45th and Bartlett. It's a weird ass street. He gone, man. That nigga left.
Yeah, but I would. You're right, though. You asked me the question. I would have called Chris like, I just hit for 50. Came home now, with any less than, I wonder how much she watching.
25.
So, Carisha, you watching right now. I hit for 50. What's the amount of money I could come home with
but,
if I call you and tell you I hit for 50?
First of all, we got to tell our girls we hit for 40.
But this is
what we got to
do. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
This is what I'm getting ready to say. Hold on. Let me let y'all know how this is supposed to go.
Because we still got to finish out this trip.
You
this trip.
Hey, look. Listen.
Now, the trip is really going up on a Tuesday.
Nigga, if I hit for 50, I ain't calling my girl telling her I hit for 50. Mm. I didn't hit for like 30.
Mm. Baby, I just hit for $25.
On the Wheel of Fortune, baby.
I'm a $25 there.
You should have seen me. I was saying big spin. You should have seen me. Oh, my God.
Nigga, okay, no, for real. But if I hit for 50, you said it perfect, 40. I hit for 40.
Oh, that's funny.
Because you think for 1 second your wife and your girl going to tell you how much they got? Yeah. For real?
No.
Ain't no way in the world. They got 100,000 right now you don't know about.
Oh, shit.
I wonder. I mean, let me check real quick. But yeah, so y'all right. So I feel y'all with that one. I mean, in a sense. But yeah, you would touch
base. I would give y'all at least five racks.
But yeah, in my heart, though, I really want to give y'all about five. Ooh. About five racks.
Man, that's funny as fuck.
In my heart of hearts.
Dev's still over there like, y'all niggas crazy.
No, I really would hit her and be like, all right, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Kalisha said come back home with 49.9.
Listen,
God damn.
We got to stop playing like she ain't going to all the
So corners. Basically, Kalisha just said, I like y'all, but fuck y'all.
Fuck y'all. And Kalisha's way nicer than Leah, nigga. Leah's been like, buy me a ticket, I'm flying out there right now. Me and McKenzie, you better have every fucking coin on you.
Matter of fact, don't even cash the ticket in.
Don't cash the ticket until I get there. Then go to your room. Damn. What?
Go to your room.
Go to your room and lock the door.
Go to your room.
Oh, that's funny,
lock
man.
Lock the door.
That's funny.
Oh, shit, man.
That is hilarious.
I wish we had the audio on the country dude. Did y'all see that the guy that one that was going around when he got drafted? And
oh,
and people
yes,
trying to, yeah,
man.
Yeah, I wish
Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, I wish we had that can go out there or whatever. See, everything goes like the problematic black people doing their shit or whatever. Even though the one with the money wasn't terrible. Yeah. That wasn't terrible. I will let me see. Boom, boom, boom. Nope, that's the wrong button.
While we wait, more stuff will be going out soon. I got to put out the some pictures and videos from the last one. But Pod and R&B, June 1st.
Yes.
Saturday, 7 p.m.
Yes.
At Waking Dreams Creations. Yeah. Be on the lookout for our promos coming up pretty soon. But I will be putting out, we'll be putting out some stuff this week, some videos and pictures from
the week. Yeah. We got some, we already got some people that's looking forward to it, man. Some people just like, as soon as the shit hit online, they buying their tickets, man. Okay. So, it's going to be dope.
Well, I guess we can finish out with a couple of things. But it's like, one thing is just, I've seen a lot because the draft was, last week, right?
2 weeks.
Two?
Yeah, last.
Last Thursday? Last no. Week. Yeah, last week. Yeah, okay. But, It's been a lot of commentary in the Twitter spaces and things like that because, you know, you get a lot of videos of people in their house and they get drafted, they get the phone call and stuff like that. And a lot of times we sit on the couch like this and it's the guy getting drafted. It might be the mama.
And the little white girl.
And it's the little white girl right there to whatever this and that. And it's just like we get a lot of conversation about that this week in the Twitter spaces because, you know, again, black people, everything's a debate in our black community about a lot of different things. And people are sitting there like, okay, well, why is it always a white girl on the couch and stuff like that and all these different things? And people are turning these into these big, huge think pieces when I think it's very, very simple, especially when you're talking about these guys getting drafted from these big schools, D1 schools and things like that or whatever. It's I forgot. I was going to ask Carlisha about this, like how things was at OU when she was down there. But so in fact, I know she said this before, being a graduate of OU, like a lot of – I think she said a lot of the black people partied differently, like or like sports people didn't party with them or something like that or whatever. Like if you're at PWIs, a predominantly white institution, and you're an athlete.
Goodness, she ugly. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
She really was ugly. The Russell Westbrook. I didn't say that out loud, Russell Wilson. Yeah, you know. Yeah, she was. She was. That picture is terrible. But but if you had a PWI and you're an athlete, what's the percentage of black people on these campuses? As a whole.
Oh, not that many.
5% maybe? Mm-hmm. Whatever. So it's like the chances are already high. You're going to be talking to somebody outside of your black space unless you're, and I talked about this on Twitter, but somebody, I think Mookie had posted something. Mookie Montano, shout out to him. Unless you're very particular and intentional saying, I'm going to date a black woman on this campus.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you're going to come across a white woman you're going to be talking to a dating or whatever at a PWI, especially as an athlete, you know. So, but that conversation has been really, really big since the draft because, again, they showed a lot of these videos. This is the one right here where that made a lot of people laugh.
Oh, Fashano.
Yeah, it made a lot of people laugh, especially the video version of it because they kept feeling like the mama was pretty much blocking off the little white girl, which she probably was. I mean, but how y'all feel about it? I mean, to me, I feel like it's not even that big of a – I'm not saying it's not a big thing, but it's just one of those things where, again, it's a simple explanation to it.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough. I can't talk about this without being personal because I didn't go. I mean, obviously, I didn't get drafted. Went through the draft process.
Mm-hmm.
I could never bring myself to bring in a white girl to the crib. I don't know why. I don't know why. So, I don't, it was nothing against them.
Right.
No shade. No nothing. But I think you have a choice.
Absolutely.
Especially when you that, so, okay. Put it this way. This is what I'm saying. Playboy brainstorm. This is what I'm saying. If you're an average student, I get it. If you're just a student on campus, there's 90 white girls to 10 black girls, 85 to 15. So if you're just a student, yeah, it's probably more likely than not
right.
that you're going to interact with more white girls because it's a PWI. Mm. But if you're Olu Fashanu, a top 10 overall draft pick in the NFL draft, sir, you got your pick of the litter. I'm at Gannon, and I'm a possible undrafted rookie free agent.
Right.
And I have the ability to pick and choose.
Right.
I know you got the ability to pick and choose, dog.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't act like it ain't no option. You that nigga. You Saquon Barkley. You Travion Anderson. Yeah. You Air Nolan. You have your pick all the litter. So if you end up with Sally, you chose Sally.
That's why I said you have to be intentional saying this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, you got to pick a white. You have to pick a white girl if you a top 10 NFL draft pick. If you a top 150 prospect.
Yeah.
If you a top 400 prospect. If you start, nigga. If you get playing time on Saturday.
If you get ticked. Yeah.
You are choosing to date these white girls.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because there are young ladies of your ilk.
Okay.
Who would be willing to date the fuck out of you, sir.
Okay.
Like, let's be honest. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she is thick.
Let's see.
Just no, I'm joking.
What?
No, I was saying, I said she is thick, but no, it's your preference. I mean, but don't act like you ain't had no options.
It was just
it's funny you said what you said because I just had this conversation, and I feel the same way. Like I can't really see myself being like, oh. And nothing towards you as a part, but it's just what I feel inside for the black woman. I mean,
I can't remember the name of the person. I can't remember the name of the person. But it was some actor who adopted two black boys. So he was going to raise them as kids, not black kids.
I saw that.
It's just an asinine statement. Right. The reason why I say that is because the same reason I could never see myself being like, ooh, I want you to be the woman in my life and you're a Caucasian young lady. It's because of the stories and the conversations I had with my parents at the dinner table. It sounds movie-like or whatever to people who don't grow up in our fucking community, or even people in our community who don't have the kind of parents I had. But my parents experienced the traveling across the country and over drinking at the blacks-only water fountains. Like, I've had those conversations.
Yep.
Like, not... This ain't no fucking person from a book... A family tree who've been dead. These are my parents, not my grandparents, not my great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. My parents had one generation, like for me to McKenzie, my parents had to drink at black-only water fountains. Yeah. My parents.
I remember my dad saying shit like that down in Atlanta. Yeah.
The experience, just the experience alone of relaying that awareness to our kids would have to be like taught to you, which I guess could be done.
Yeah.
But I would just prefer some of our experiences that shaped and formed us to be equally yoked in that sense. Because we got to raise black kids and we're not going to play this game where we're raising racially ambiguous kids. No. It's conversations that my parents need to have with me about to conduct myself when I get pulled over that you just don't have to fucking have, man.
Right, exactly. I hate to say it this way, but it's simple. How does saying go nowadays? You can't compete where you don't compare. That's kind of how it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because realistically, you ain't never had to live or go through what people that look like me done went through. Yeah. So it'd be hard to have a conversation with you or explain. Now, I can explain some shit to you all day long, but you'll never get it because you ain't never been through it.
And even that mentality even exists where they could adopt a kid to look like us and be like, well, I'm not going to raise him as a black male. The black male part is crazy, partially because we're black males. I'm sure a black woman would say the same thing about a black woman. But the hurdles you got to jump over as a black male, to say you're not going to raise a black male to have his eyes open to the world and how it views you as a black male.
You setting him up for failure.
You setting him up for failure.
Yeah, right.
And it's so crazy, even in the temperature of the world now, something happened to me early this week that I kind of was just like, damn, I'm still doing this? I was in the car and I was rolling. I'm like, damn, it's a cop. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing this shit. I still feel some way every time I see a fucking cop car.
Yeah,
I literally, I got insurance and everything. But I'm still just like, oh, damn, it's a cop.
Happened to me today. Happened to me coming out here.
It's crazy, bro.
I was listening to Not Like Us.
Yeah.
And it was up a little loud.
Yeah, I had to turn mine down.
Yeah. I pulled up behind a police
officer.
We still
get nervous about turning that music down. Yeah. I know I do.
Yeah. Nick, I was driving, and it was a cop car probably about 50 feet away from me, and I had my shit bumped. Matter of fact, I was bumping Kendrick all right, because now I'm just on this Kendrick thing now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting there bumping it, nigga. But I guarantee you that people that don't look like me don't have these same problems.
They have an attitude. I'm listening to my fucking music. Yeah. You fucking jerk. You fucking dick.
Yeah.
You fucking cunt. Yeah,
it's, it's Kendrick, okay? It's Kendrick.
Are you been under a rock? He's beefy with Drake. Yeah.
Do you want to listen? Get in the car.
Here, motherfucker.
Get in the car, fucker. Beefy with the police. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Rule number one, sir, put your hands on the wheel. Yep. 10 and 2.
Turn your lights on.
Yep.
If you can't take your wallet out beforehand, before so you ain't got to go reach for it or nothing. I used to, when I was younger, I used to keep my wallet in my glove department all the time.
Yep.
You know, and then I got to a point. To a point where it's like, nah, you ain't doing that because you don't need to be reaching into a glove department. Because I remember I got pulled up before. I said, hey, my wallet's in my glove department. Mm-hmm. I need to go in there and get it. I had enough sense to say that and do that much, but. Now he says, nah, I might put it in the middle console or something like that. But no, we not reaching into the glove compartment.
I never move my hands from the steering wheel. Mm-mm. I simply look at them and say,
I roll
the
window down, but you know, when I get pulled over,
I'll sit there and say, hey, sir, my insurance is up there in the visor. I'm looking at him the whole time. Right side, passenger visor. My wallet is down here. Is it okay if I get it? Mm-hmm. I said, I don't have no weapons on me. Nah, I do. But
yeah.
But that's gonna run up anyway as soon as they run my shit. But it's crazy, man. But it's leading back to what you said. Yeah. It kind of makes it difficult to be in that type of situation because you can't understand what I've been through unless you grew up around niggas.
And it's not no shade. We're talking about the rest of my life.
I don't think these people be serious at this point.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't usually make it out of.
But the mamas, that's why the mamas be like, no, baby.
Yeah.
Sorry, baby. This is my baby about to be something the rest of his life.
I wish we had the video. This her with the hugs or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, no. These the black mamas gonna be going for that.
Yeah.
They don't be going for it at all. You know. So I mean, yeah, it's all good, man.
Yeah, man.
They're not gonna be able to hear
it. Yeah. So she like kind of like blocked.
Oh yeah, yeah. They called him or whatever. Yeah, watch the mama. Watch the girl try to. There she go. She trying to get a little hug.
Nope.
Mama like
nope.
Watch her head. Watch. I like how she tried to scoot over a little bit. Watch her scoot in a little bit. See. She gonna scoot in a little bit more. Mama like nah. Look at her. She's scooting. Mama like nah. Nope. She ain't gonna make it.
It's the equivalent of saying nah, player.
She ain't gonna make it. But I mean, I do get what you're saying, Dale. But it's like you know, you got the if you a top pick basically at that point, you can kind of at this point. Be like, all right, I can talk to whoever I kind of want to talk to on this campus.
Yeah.
And so you can be intentional and be like, you can be intentional and be like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna find me a black woman. This is who I want to talk to.
That moment happens for every athlete. It is not because it's not normal. We talk about it once we get in relationships and shit like that.
Yeah.
Once women start trying to approach you, you're not used to it because growing up, you always the pursuer. Yeah. Every athlete, man, you sit around in your dorm room, your off-campus apartment, on-campus apartment, and you like, what the fuck is going on? And I know he had it. I went to Gannon and I had that moment.
Right.
I know he had that moment. You know what I'm saying? Where you like, is this real?
Yeah.
Like, you getting your little flip phone blown up. And you like, nigga, is this serious?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, brother. You know what it is. Your DM's going crazy.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what it is, man. Like, you got your pick of the litter, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We just made a choice.
All right, but we'll go ahead and wrap up, man. It's 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
On this Cinco Day of the Mayo.
Yeah, let me finish this off. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, man.
All right, y'all. Appreciate it. And out of our 8 years, we've actually had it, I think, on one other day. Like, actually on... We did the show on a Sunday.
One day we had Cinco de Marcho.
Yeah, we had Cinco de Marcho. Yeah, one day we had Cinco de Marcho. Yeah.
Bring some, don't try to.
Nah.
Nah. I'll never forget. I said, this is the nicest nigga I've ever met.
Right.
He brought us tacos and tequila on a random March day.
Right. We're like, Cinco de Mayo.
That nigga got on the mic and said, Happy Cinco de Mayo.
I always say, the way y'all let me ride that shit up for like 45 minutes of the show. Like, literally, just kept let me ride out. To finally, somebody just probably couldn't take it. I was like, huh?
No, because you didn't say, at that point, you said, yeah, Happy Cinco de Mayo. We was like, What? I just thought the nigga brought his tacos, man. Right.
Like I said, it was in my plans today, but we had such a busy Sunday, man. I was gonna do some chicken tacos, so yeah. I'm actually gonna do them tomorrow instead of today. It was just a long day, I really would have done.
I'll come pick him up.
All right, man. You know what I'm saying? I do chicken thighs, man. They just I get boneless chicken thighs, man, and you just mm-hmm. and I do them up because for one, they're more flavorful and they're more tender and they're more juicy. The chicken breasts dry out too quick, yeah. So I do chicken thighs, man. I cook them, man. I
cut them up, season shit. Them up,
yeah. And I cook them, chop them down. Yep.
I found this mm-hmm. gadget on Amazon. You put the chicken in there, it got spikes, and you turn it, and it shreds the chicken.
Oh wow. Mm.
Ooh, old nigga joy.
Look at us being in our 40s. Oh, man,
look at that. Come on, man. You put the boneless chicken in there, and you turn it, and it shreds the fuck out the chicken. Oh.
So you ain't got to take the forks and do it all yourself mm-hmm. and all that? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, it's just, I am so into, like, looking at recipes now. That's kind of what we do at home now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we'll make a list for, like, 2 weeks. Like, we get ready to go shopping, like, grocery shop. We'll make a list for 2 weeks. Like, this is what we going to get. And we'll say, well, we cooking on these days or whatever. But, like, you know, it's plenty of time. She looking at recipes online. Mm-hmm. I got stuff saved in my phone. She got stuff saved on her phone or whatever. We got cookbooks. So it's just like you just be trying stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's for whatever reason, call us old now, call us 40 plus or whatever. Mm-hmm. That shit is exciting as hell to me right now, man. Yeah. So, I mean, I love it. I mean, we get in the kitchen all the time when we cook. You know, we really saving money, even though it ain't even pretty much saving right now. Because by the time you buy a whole... Everything you need for a meal is about the same thing for when you're going out now.
I don't know if you've done it, but you said you got a new grill, right?
Yeah.
And a smoker. Have you tried doing breakfast on there yet?
Mm-mm.
You should try that,
man. Don't give me no ideas, though.
Yeah. You should try doing some, you know, some breakfast on there, man.
I'll have to figure it out.
I was watching a video of somebody doing that, and they said that shit was real good. So
I'll figure it out. Trust me, I will.
What's your next thing on the smoker, though?
Probably some ribs.
Ribs.
I'm going to do some ribs. I'm thinking about getting the family through on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but okay. I still got to figure it out myself. So, but I'm gonna throw some ribs. Who knows, I may grab a slab this week just to throw one on, just mm-hmm. to figure it out. Cause all the videos I've watched, like when you're doing like the smoker and stuff, it takes like 5 hours.
Yeah,
you know. So me being at home, working from home, it's easy for me to get. You know, I can go get something started at like 1-2 o'clock, especially on a nice day. I can sit outside and be working and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, ribs is my next thing.
Yes, sir.
That's definitely one I'm going to do next. So we'll see.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, we'll get on out here, Playboy. Give them all your shits. All
right, man. At the end of the day, it's Playboy the DJ, Playboy DADJ. You can find me on Instagram, Playboy_James3. You can find me on Facebook under my government. If you know me, then you know me.
They know you.
And you can find me on all DMST Boy platforms, man. Single de Mayo, man. Great week. Great show. We catch y'all next week, man.
All right. I will say, too, real quick, that the fact that Carlicia and Leah are bonding over the fact that we better come home at 49-9.
Well, that's what they said in the chat.
They just bonded. They bonded in the chat, you know, over on YouTube, basically. Let's see.
Basically like, give that nigga back his honey. And that's what
I'm married to, dog.
Basically, yeah, because I remember I asked, I said, how much I get? Carlicia said 100 or 200. Basically, she said she wouldn't tell anybody that she won. She'd quietly walk away from the machine like nothing happened. And she said, I'm sorry, but I'm with Dev on this one.
I already know. I didn't learn. See, listen, I've been in this thing almost 13 of them things. I love y'all. The first call I'm making is to that woman. And she said, it's going to slip up. I'm like, you know, I won $50,000. She'd be like, you won what?
And she said, she don't care if people are around or not. I better call her first.
This nigga said, if only I'm by myself.
Yeah, okay.
And then
it was come back home with 49-9, basically. 49-9. All right, man.
Damn.
And then Leah followed up and said, come back with all 50K.
God.
And cash out in 100 out the joint account. Yeah, okay. All right. Like I said, they just
back first, nigga. Oh, God. I
and then to top it all off, Leah said, in my heart, I would give y'all a hug. Have a great trip. Next time I see Leah, it's on.
Oh, man.
That's funny, man. All
right, but it's Big Dev, man. Do what needs to be done. It needs to be done whether you like it or not. Real Big Dev 216 everywhere.
Everywhere, nigga.
Everywhere, man. DMST16 at yahoo.com. Questions, comments, concern, feedback, all that good shit. Yeah, man, I guess June 1st, man. We still shoot for June 1st for the next pod in R&B, man. With the way things are happening right now, who knows? We might be having one out of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You know. Shout out to the homie that was posting
about
June 1st. Yeah. Shout out to the homie that was talking about, you know, getting everybody together because people haven't been together in so long, man.
Yeah.
You
gotta plan that.
But yeah, that's gotta be planned. But yeah, so it may be cloudy today, but the sun will come out tomorrow. And as long as you are here under the sun, live your life to the best of your motherfucking ability. I am DJ Brainstorm for you and all social media. That is DJ Brainstorm, the number 4, the letter.
You.
If the people talking crazy out there, just tell them no drizzy.
No drizzy.
All right, y'all. We out of here, y'all. Peace.
Peace.